Now, Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And this time it's just one verse. Verse 44. Matthew 13 and verse 34. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hid in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Now hopefully this week we shall finish these four parables in Matthew. And then I want to bring to you some thoughts and suggestions on the preparation of a message, the giving of a testimony, and very, very basic homiletics. I don't think it'll be found difficult at all, but it would be good, I think, to have a little word with you about that. So let's begin then with this, which is actually the fifth parable. Now, I hope you've got some room in your notes for it, for parables. You remember now where we are, I hope, that we've been studying this series in Matthew chapter 13 and the first four of them. You remember what they were, the sower and the seed, the wheat and the tares, the mustard seed, and the leaven. We saw the Lord telling the crowd what would be the outward evidence of the development of his kingdom on earth between the first and second advent of Jesus. And in these parables, the first four, we saw battle, conflict, evil, and the whole story apparently non-success. He was speaking to those who are not in the kingdom. And the multitude would judge by what they saw as to the success or failure of what they call Christianity. Now, three quarters of the seed, you remember, was fruitless. The damage caused by the wheat by the enemy's tares. The unnatural development of the mustard seed to be a great tree of worldly power. And the evil influence of leaven. Now, that's been a dark story, much in it to give the onlooker ground to think that Christianity has failed. But there's another side to the coin. And now the Lord Jesus shows his disciples, who would judge not by sight but by faith, the certain triumph of his plans. That's what these four are telling us, the certain triumph of his purpose. And to the disciples, he shows the process of victory. He tells the disciple it's Christendom that's failed, not Christianity. Christendom that's failed, the outward thing. The establishment, the church, the outward, not Christianity. Wherever you apply the principles of Christianity, you have victory. Wherever you apply the principles of Christianity, you have victory. That's true personally and nationally. Now, he wants us to know how he is working in the world today. And he likens the kingdom of heaven to treasure hid in a field, which, reading verse 44, a man finds and then hides. And for the joy of finding it, he goes and sells all he has and buys the whole field. That's the story of verse 44. I'll just repeat that. He tells us how he is working in the world today. So he likens the kingdom of heaven to treasure hid in a field, which a man hides, and then a man finds and then hides again. And for joy at finding it, he goes and sells all he has and buys it. This parable and the next one tell us what we mean to Jesus. This parable and the next one tell us what we mean to Jesus. Now you notice there are some things here we've seen before. The field is the world. We've heard Jesus say that. The field is the world. And the man has always been the master himself, Christ. So, in the principle of interpretation, we observe consistency. The field is the world. The man, the Savior himself. Now, look at that verse again with these two things in mind. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hid in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then, in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Now, we've still to discover, then, what is the treasure? And what's meant by hiding it? And the purchase of the whole field. So, just jot down in your notes, the treasure defined. The treasure defined. D-E-F-I-N-E-D. What is this treasure? What is it that God has set his heart upon? But which is hidden and unrevealed. What is it that God has set his heart upon? But it's hidden and unrevealed. What's his purpose throughout all the ages in history? What does he see that impels him to sell everything that he might realize it? Well, for what purpose was the world created? For what purpose was the world created? Surely, for the display of the government of God. For the display of the government of God. I go slowly here. Get this down. The treasure in this parable, on which God has set his heart, is nothing less than realizing that purpose in the world and in human life. In other words, let the world and humanity should yet display his government. That's the treasure hidden. If you repeat? Yeah. The world's created, repeating, for the display of the government of God. And the treasure on which he has set his heart is nothing less than realizing that purpose in the world and in humanity. That the world and people should yet display the glory of the government of God. That's the treasure hidden. Now let me just give you scriptural authority for that. You can jot these verses down. I'll read them to you. Psalm 2, I'm just taking one or two examples. Psalm 2, verse 6, and so on. I have set my king on Zion, on my holy hill. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with the rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Habakkuk 2, verse 14. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Habakkuk 2, verse 14. And Revelation 19, verse 15. Or if you could read a whole section of that, but it is speaking of our Lord Jesus, who is clad, in verse 13, in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, followed him on white horses. From his mouth issued a sharp sword with which to smite the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name inscribed, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Revelation 21, verses 2 and 3. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a great voice from the throne, saying, Behold, the dwelling of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them. Revelation 21, verses 2 and 4. A display of the glory of the government of God in this world. This is the treasure hidden. But, and here again, note this, in order that God's purpose may be fulfilled, the men whom he placed in dominion to do it is incapable of doing so. Because he's in rebellion. The men whom he placed in dominion and through whom he's to do it, is incapable of doing so because he's in rebellion against God. And he's the cause of the whole world going to waste. Just look at how nature reveals the order and beauty of God's government. The flower, the sunshine, the harvest, winter and summer, everything sings to his glory. But the very person who should be supremely displaying the glory of God, has sold out to the enemy. Let me repeat that. The very person who ought to be supremely displaying the glory of the government of God has sold out to the enemy. Romans 14, verse 17. Romans 14, 17. The kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. Where are those displayed in human life today? That's the treasure of the parable. Hidden, unrevealed, but the restoring of the joy of God's government and human life. The treasure hidden. But the treasure found. The treasure found. The man found the treasure. What's that suggest? Going slow, I hope. God looked through all the confusion caused by sin and rebellion. He looked through all the confusion caused by rebellion and sin, all the chaos, and saw the possibility of restoration. Got that? Okay, so far. Okay. He saw men as sheep without a shepherd. Brought, as the Bible says, to still waters, quiet resting places. He saw the restoration. Men with, like sheep without a shepherd, brought beside still waters and to quiet resting places. He saw through the ruin caused by sin. He saw through all that to the possibility of complete salvation. He saw through the discord between God and man due to our rebellion. And he saw the restoration of absolute harmony. That's what Mark was talking about yesterday. He saw through the discord caused by sin between God and men, and he saw the possibility of restoring harmony. In other words, sum it up this way. He saw the kingdom as it ought to be through the kingdom as it was. He saw, repeating, the kingdom as it ought to be through the kingdom as it was. He knew that where sin reigned, order could prevail. Now, it's only our understanding of that that can give us strength for Christian service today. Only a clear vision of the possibility that lies behind all human suffering. Otherwise, it would send us out of our mind. A well-known good friend of mine, well-known preacher in London, I heard him say in public, I used to ask the Lord, show me, Lord, what it means for someone to be lost. He said, God never answered that prayer, for I'm sure if he had, I'd have gone out of my mind. It's only understanding that God looks through all human rebellion for the possibility of complete harmony. And only knowing that in every life, no matter how degraded, how hopeless, what a mess, God, in his purpose, can win victory. That keeps us serving him without despair, without fear of failure. You think of the kingdom as it is, and you think of India and China and Guatemala and Brazil and Cambodia, and you think of it all, you think of it by itself, it would drive you crazy. But think of it as it can be, and one day it will be. And sometimes, when you and I almost give up hope of ourselves and despair at our absolute failures, behind the ruin and the mess and the chaos, God sees the possibility of restoration. How many, many times I'd have given up all attempt to live the Christian life had I not believed that. The treasure found. But now the treasure hidden. The men who found the treasure hid it again, so says our parable. And you know, that's exactly what Jesus did. He displayed the kingdom in his own life. He brought it into visibility in his own life. Displayed the government of God there. But he was rejected. And because of that rejection, he shut the door against them. Matthew 21:43, the kingdom was taken from them and given to another nation, which will bear fruit of the kingdom. Luke 10:21, hid the facts of the kingdom from the wise and the prudent and revealed them unto babes. Luke 10:21. Jesus has never revealed his purposes to someone who's merely intellectually curious. Never shown his purposes to someone who's just intellectually curious. Always he's revealed them to childlike faith and trust. And we live, of course, in a time when the kingdom is hidden. Except to those who are prepared to become like little children. The kingdom is hidden. Except to those who are prepared to become like little children. And the principles of the kingdom are being revealed in Christian lives. The principles of kingdom living are being revealed in Christian lives, but rejected by the world. And our hope for the world is the coming of the king. To rule himself with a rod of iron. There's nothing to be afraid of that. The world has suffered long enough from the rule of broken reeds. But he will come to rule with a rod of iron. Meanwhile, get this, and this is the important thrust to my life. Meanwhile, the treasure is hidden from the world, but revealed and realized in Christian living. And somehow society has got to be exposed to that. Sure. Reverse gear. Yes, wait a minute, hold it. The treasure is hidden from the world and revealed and realized in Christian living. And the world, society, has got to be exposed to this. And if you want to know what it is, it's Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. What trouble I got into when I preached for 40 Sundays running on the Sermon on the Mount at Moody Church in Chicago. I was bringing the church under law. I was applying truth which didn't apply to this age. It applied to the kingdom age. Dispensation. I didn't say it in so many words, but that's absolute rubbish. Absolute rubbish. It doesn't apply to the kingdom age. All right. It'll be realized fully when the kingdom comes. But I've got to display a kingdom life here and now. If I'm going to change society. Display a kingdom life right now. And our parable tells us that the whole world was purchased at the price of all he had to bring this about. And it was purchased with joy. He endured the cross, despising the shame, for the joy that was set before him. What was that joy? It was the joy of fulfilling the will of God. John 4:34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. The joy of fulfilling the will of God. Only by selling all he had could human nature be possessed by divine nature and men restored. I repeat that. Only by selling all that he had could human nature be possessed by divine nature and men restored. He bought the field. Say, who'd you buy it from? He bought the field at such a cost. Who from? The devil? No. He never had any right to it anyway. And besides, the devil would very gladly have settled at a far cheaper price. Very gladly. In fact, that's what he continually tried to do. Just take it, take it, take it. Worship me and have it. He'd have given anything to settle at lesser price. He didn't buy it from the devil. Did he buy it from God? Mm-mm. No. He was himself God. And he wasn't trying to persuade the Lord to act any different way because Calvary. He bought it How do I put this? At a cost, at such a cost, in the sense that if any of us rescue anything precious at the cost of suffering, we say, "Oh, we bought that at a great price." That's how Jesus bought the field. I'll say that again. In the sense, if any of us, and it's almost irreverent, but if any of us rescue anything precious at the cost of suffering, we say we bought that at a great price. Oh, you've heard, I'm sure, many times. People tell the very familiar story of the mother who had a little baby. And as that child grew older, every time she looked at her mother's hands, she ran away. Wouldn't let her mother touch her. Her hands were terrible, burnt, in an awful state, and fingers almost non-existent, and the child couldn't stand. Until one day, she thought the child was old enough to explain. And she said to her, "You know, when you were a little baby, one day, in this room, you fell into the fire. And I plunged in after you and pulled you out. That's why my hands are like they are." That child said, "Oh, Mother, what lovely hands. What lovely hands." That's it. The cost, the purchase price, not paid to God, not paid to the devil, but himself. His hands were pierced at Calvary. Indeed, the blood of the cross wasn't handed over to meet any demands of Satan or to persuade God. It was the expression of the passion and the joy in Jesus' heart through which he could purchase the treasure. I'll repeat that. It was the expression of the passion and the joy in the Lord's heart through which he could purchase the treasure. At the price of pain, but with fullness of joy. Just jot this sentence down. The nails, the wounds, the throne are the title of his freehold to the world. Say it again. The nails, the wounds, the throne are his title to the freehold, ownership of the world. And just in conclusion, he looks beneath the confusion it often exists in your life and in mine, and sees the possibility of absolute restoration. But he tells us that in order to realize it and redeem it, he'll fulfill his purpose in you. But I must allow kingdom life to operate. Oh, long words coming up now. Sorry. Oh, we're ready for them. Every Christian must be, here they come, an eschatological phenomena. Isn't that terrible? I'll give it to you. I'll spell it to you. E-S-C-H. A-T. O-L-I-G-A-L.
Got that down? I'll explain in a minute. ESCHATOLIG. AL. Phenomena. PHEN. OMIN. A. I think that's enough for inners. It means every Christian ought to be someone who's absolutely thrilled because he's going to see Jesus. He's anticipating that day when this will all be fulfilled in his life completely. And that makes him a phenomena. That is something that needs explaining. An eschatological something that anticipates the coming enthronement of Jesus as Lord. That's it for this morning. Just a prayer together. Lord, just grant that some things that have been said today may grip our hearts and thrill our hearts and thrill our lives, and be in your hand the means of just helping to transform us into kingdom living and display the glory of Jesus for his sake. Amen.